Our gospel for this very special day is the gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter, beginning with the 10th verse. Today, as you listen to this passage of scripture, be mindful that we are on the fourth Sunday of Easter. And this passage refers back to Easter. We are in the Easter season. We are also in the fourth week of the case for Christ. Obviously, Easter made the case for Christ. And as you listen to these words from Scripture, be very mindful of the location of the questions, the purpose of the questions, the reason for the questions, and what it is that God wants us to learn from the questions. Listen to this account that happened on Easter Day. Then the disciples went back to their homes, and Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They've taken my Lord away," she said, "and I do not know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it that you are looking for?" And then in that moment, Mary recognizes him. Not only does she proclaim him as her Lord and Savior, but she goes to tell others about the risen Lord. Later, Jesus appears to his disciples behind locked doors. They too had many, many questions, but he appears to them. They see him. They believe in him. Thomas was not with them, so Jesus shows up in Thomas's presence. He has all kinds of questions. Jesus shows up, he sees him, and he believes. And then the conclusion of this gospel from John chapter 20, one of my favorite passages in all of Scripture. Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. That by believing, you may have life in his name. Please pray with me. Gracious Lord, we would pray that this day, whatever questions we might have, would bring us to a place where we, by believing, might have life in your name. Lord, we come into your presence today to worship you, to celebrate the gift of baptism and your grace and your love that come with it, how it is that you claim us as your own, that we might truly believe. Lord, today we bring all of our questions to you. We trust that you will allow us to hear your responses to our questions. In your name we pray. Amen. I invite you to be seated. I know that there are those among us today that want to ask the really big, big question. On a day when we have celebrated baptism, what a great day this is. Some of you are asking, I wonder when Pastor Gary will next show us a picture of his new little granddaughter. Well, the answer is, today's your lucky day. There she is. That is Sapphira. And thank you. I'll pass that along to her. The next big question that I'll address is, some of you are wondering, well, when do we get to see another picture of Remy? You know, he's three. Does he get upstaged? Well, today is your lucky day for that, too. You get to see a picture of Remy. And in response to some of his questions, well, thank you. I'll let him know that, too. Why do I show these pictures? Well, I'm a proud grandpa, or as Remy would call me, Grampy. And I'm not only proud, but Remy's getting to that stage now where he has lots and lots and lots of questions. Why do I have to go to bed? Why do I have to eat this? There's all kinds of questions. And sometimes they are tiresome, but then Shay and I go home and let Let his parents deal with those questions. Questions are a way of learning. Questions help us in discovery. Questions allow us to grow, do they not? Today, we celebrate baptism. Questions were asked of the parents and the godparents. Will you continue to bring these precious children, Everly and Isaiah, to the worship services of God's house? Will you teach them the Lord's Prayer, the Creed, and the Ten Commandments? Will you place in their hands the Holy Scriptures? Will you allow them to grow up in the fellowship of the church so that they may lead a godly life until the day of Jesus Christ? Will you? And the response, the enthusiastic response of godparents and parents was, yes, we're going to do that. Why is that important? Because the answer to that question, yes, I'll do that, is that parents and godparents are making a commitment to teach these precious miracles of God, these precious little babies. They're going to teach them about God's responses to our questions. And by teaching them God's word and putting God's word in their hands and in their hearts and in their heads, then when they face the tough questions that they are sure to face in life, parents and godparents and children are better equipped to deal with those questions. Those are big questions, important in preparation for life, life here on earth and life eternal. I love the names that have been selected. Everly. Everly refers to meadow, and it refers to lovely. And that name was picked because it's a beautiful name, and it's not very common. It's a beautiful name. And I love the name Elise. Elise means pledged to God. That's what that name means. Elise means pledged to God. Today, Everly Elise was pledged to God. What a beautiful name. That namesake will be part of those baptismal promises. I love the name Isaiah. It's an Old Testament name, and the name Isaiah means God is salvation. That was the name of that great prophet. God is salvation. And Christian, the name Christian, we probably all think we know what that means, right? It means to be a little Christ. That's what Christian means. And the name was coined when Jesus commissioned his apostles. They became known as Christians. We have Old Testament, New Testament flavor here. The one who proclaims God is salvation. The one who is to be a little Christ. The one who is pledged to God, significant. So when they're asked, what does my name mean? You can share these precious meanings of their names. Isaiah was asked a lot of questions in his day. As a prophet, he addressed a lot of questions. Where is God now in the midst of what we're going through? And then he would remind them that God had always been there for them. God would never leave them nor forsake them. And he turned the question around and he said to them, why do you keep turning away from God? God is your rock and your salvation. Why, when things get tough, do you turn away? Lots and lots of profound questions. All of those questions were designed to drive toward believing. That's the importance and the purpose of the questions. We've been studying the case for Christ. Pastor Greg mentioned that earlier. And this book, The Case for Christ, not only a great read, but this book, The Case for Christ, is so important for us as we think about how it is that Christ, God, has made his case for us and we are to believe in it. We not only celebrate baptism as we think about the case for Christ, but we think about baptism and the case for Christ in our confirmation that we celebrated just last Saturday, not yesterday, but the Saturday before. Pastor Greg and I had the privilege of working with those 60 students and their parents. And what a privilege it was to work with them. We got to be their small group leaders. So Pastor Greg and myself and Pastor PJ and Pastor Glenn, we all got a small group where each one of us had a group of students and their parents, and they asked all kinds of questions. And that was good because we had opportunity to address those questions and to learn. And that won't be the end of their questions. They continue to learn and grow and discover. But a Saturday a week ago, they came forward to affirm their baptism. In other words, they came forward to say, look, we're still going to have more questions, but this I believe. I believe that I am a child of God. I believe that Jesus is my Savior. And they confirmed their faith. They affirmed their baptism. It was a great moment. Questions are sure to come. And the case for Christ deals with questions that are not only here, but continue. But affirmation of baptism was a powerful experience. Lee Strobel in The Case for Christ had lots of questions. His purpose, his intent was to ask questions in such a way that he could verify what he believed. And that is that he didn't believe in God. And he wanted, beyond a shadow of a doubt, to prove that God didn't exist. And when confronted with all the evidence, he was an investigative reporter for the Chicago Tribune. When confronted with all of the evidence, he finally reached the verdict that the case for Christ was real in his life. And he believed. His questions led him to the point of belief. We want to affirm you for asking questions. We want you to know that this is a safe place to ask questions, not only during our Case for Christ series, but if in the future you've got more questions, you can engage Pastor Greg and myself and the other pastors. We have Stephen ministers here who can engage in life questions, Christ-centered questions with you. We're here for that purpose. We want to commend you for asking all of your questions. It's been said that doubt is the sharpening edge of faith. Doubt is the sharpening edge of faith. Allow any doubts you might have to drive you deeper into faith. Allow the purpose of your doubting, your questions, allow them. Be open to the possibility of God creating, sparking deeper faith and bringing you to the point of belief. We want to commend you for texting 313131. Many of you did. Text 313131, and we received a lot of questions. Many of you sent questions in email form to us. Some of you wrote down your questions, and we can't deal with all of those questions today, but we're going to deal with a few of them. And as we deal with them, we want you to know that asking questions on into the future, even though this series concludes but doesn't really, there's opportunity. If you look in your prayer and action guide, you'll see word about Webs, that's Women's Evening Bible Study. There's word in there about men's Saturday morning Bible study and also the Wednesday morning men's Bible study. There's word in there about CHIRP, Christ Renews His Parish. Pastor Greg mentioned that. Great place to pose questions, a wonderful opportunity for that. There's word in there about growth groups and about many, many other opportunities to bring your questions, to continue to grow and learn. There's experiences in there, like serving at Hesed House. Sometimes questions are best posed in the context of working alongside of someone and asking your important questions as you work. Rebuilding Together Aurora has their big work weekend, next Friday and Saturday. Great to work alongside someone and ask your questions in conversation. It can spark great learning opportunities. So many opportunities to continue. It seems to me that there are at least three major categories that emerge from the questions you posed to us. There were informational questions. You wanted some basic information. You know, like an information question might be, where are the restrooms? Okay. And then there's curiosity questions. A curiosity question might be, why did you place the restrooms where you placed them? You know, that would be a curiosity question. And then there's essential questions. Depending upon the condition you're in, it may become very essential that you find out where the restroom is right now. So there's different categories of questions, informational, curiosity, and essential, that relate to faith. The informational kinds of questions that we got were like these. Why did God write the Bible? Well, maybe the answer is in the word Bible itself. If you spell out Bible, B-I-B-L-E, and you use each letter to indicate a word, isn't the Bible basic information before leaving Earth? Isn't that basic information before, or basic instructions before leaving Earth? Or maybe the Bible, B-I-B-L-E, is basic information before life eternal, you know? So you can think about it that way. But the Bible addresses all kinds of good information for us and gets at that. We just completed a series, a year-long plus series on God's storyboard. We dealt with the lower story and the upper story. We dealt with five major categories in the Bible: the creation story, the story of the nation of Israel and how God worked there, the story of Jesus, the story of the church, and the story of the new creation. And we dealt with lots and lots of information. One of you asked the question, there's terms in the Bible that I don't quite get. Like it says 40 days several different times. What does that mean? Well, in Hebrew numerology, 40 days represents a lot of something. 40 days is intended to mean a long, long time. Sometimes in our Western culture, we get bound by the limitations of our language. But if you really want to understand the Bible, you need to think in the language of the people whom God inspired to write it. In Hebrew, the term 40 days means a long, long period of time. There were lots of informational kinds of questions that were posed to us. That's as many as I'm going to deal with right now, because we've got others to deal with. There were curiosity questions that were asked too. Like, did God really create everything in just 6 days? Well, I do believe with all my heart that if God chose, he could create everything in 6 24-hour days. God has the power and ability to do that. But if you really want to understand the Bible, maybe it's important to understand what the term day meant in the language in which it was written. And maybe that broadens our perspective on how God did create. You see, the Bible is really all about who did creation and who saves us. The Bible addresses all the who questions. Science addresses the how questions. Two different disciplines. Anyway, enough of that. Another question was, did Jesus have any brothers or sisters? That was a curiosity question. Some say no because of their understanding. But in Matthew 13, verses 55 through 56, and in Mark 6, verse 3, it says, Jesus had 4 younger brothers, and it lists them by name. And he had sisters. It doesn't mention them by name. Now, what's that all about? You're going to name the boys, but you're not going to admit the names? That wouldn't be so good in Everly's case, would it? So that happened. And then here's a good curiosity question. When we're having a hard time, we turn to God. Who does God turn to when he's having a bad day? Very interesting question. I'm not sure God has any bad days. God is God. God transforms that we would categorize as bad into good. Lots and lots of curiosity questions. What I want to deal with is the essential questions, the life-giving questions, the important questions. The Bible tells us all scripture is God-breathed, in other words, inspired, and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training. And if you read that passage that Linda read so well for us, it goes on to say, so that the person of God may be equipped for every good work and may believe. There's a reason why God gives us his inspired word. It's for teaching and correcting. In other words, bring your questions so that you can be equipped, so that you can believe. Lee Strobel set out searching the Word and searching history and searching all kinds of sources to prove that the Bible couldn't truly be real. And yet the evidence was overwhelming, and he couldn't disprove it, and by an act of faith, he believed. All of Scripture is for the purpose of allowing us to address our questions in order that we might believe. Sometimes in life that's tough. Like this question that was posed by one of the members of our church. This past year, my life has just felt like it's falling apart. And I honestly don't believe that there is a God anymore. If God is real and God actually cares and wants people to be happy, then why does one bad thing happen after another? That's a great question. That's a powerful question. That's a real question that gets us to the heart of a life circumstance, a life crisis that this person's going through. Whenever I face a question like that, I turn to God both in prayer and I turn to God in ways that allow me to try and be open. You want to hang on to that for a second, Josh, for me? Thanks. And here are some of the Bible passages that address that question for me. I went first to Romans 8:28, and perhaps that's a verse that many of you know. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. When that verse was given to this person, they said, I need something that goes beyond that. I need more. It feels trite to me. So we turn to Romans chapter 5, verses 33 through 5. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to us. Purpose for suffering. God goes on to say there's a promise in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. He says, and after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. This time might seem dark. This time might seem hard. This time might seem beyond what you can endure. But God's promise is true. He will see you. He will equip you. He will strengthen and establish you. And then these words of assurance from Revelation. One day God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for all the former things will have passed away. God's assurance. God goes on through the prophet Isaiah. Your son will love these words. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you go through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. There may be times in your life where you feel like you're being burned. You feel like you're being overwhelmed. You feel like you're being consumed. But God's promise is sure. I will never leave you nor forsake you. God wants us to bring those questions in our moments when we feel overwhelmed and feel like it's just beyond what we can endure. Then God goes on to say this, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man or known to God. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. In the midst of all those things that seem to overwhelm us, in the midst of all those times when life may seem dark, in the midst of all those times when you, like the psalmist, cry out, how long, O Lord, must I endure? In those times when you bring your questions, your heartfelt questions to God, God is ready to respond. God is ready to address your questions. Keep bringing your questions. For the purpose of the questions, the purpose of each and every question is to have God allow you to bring you to a point where you too, like Lee Strobel, where you too, like Mary, where you too, like Thomas, can say, I believe. I believe. You are my Lord and my Savior. Josh, I'm going to switch books with you for a second because I've got a couple more passages of Scripture to share with you. In the passage that Linda read for us from Acts chapter 4, in that passage, the leaders, the religious leaders of the day, brought Peter and John before them, and they began to question them. The Bible is very clear on this in Acts chapter 4, verses 5 through 12. It says very clearly, the next day they brought him and all these elders, and they questioned him this way, by what power or what name did you do this? They want to blame him. They just healed a person with God's authority, and they want to blame him for doing it not quite right. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, see, God provided. In the midst of that question, God provides. He gives them the Holy Spirit, and he says to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He is the stone which you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to us by which he must be saved. These are the promises of God in response to the questions that were posed. So in the garden that day, when Jesus meets Mary, she is asked a question, first of all, by the angels. They ask her, why are you crying? And she responds, because they took my Lord away. That is there in the Bible for any of us who in moments of our life feel like something or someone took my Lord away. And then she turns and she sees Jesus, but she doesn't recognize him. Jesus asks her a question, a heartfelt, loving, compassionate question. Woman, why are you crying? And then he follows it up with this incredible question. Who is it you are looking for? Who is it you are looking for? The Bible tells us that her response is, she did not recognize him. In those moments in our life, when God asks of us, who is it you're looking for? What is it you're looking for? What is it that you're missing? There are moments like that when sometimes we don't realize that God is right there. But God, who never leaves us or forsakes us, promises that he is there. And in those moments when we feel abandoned, Christ is there to assure us. In the midst of our questions, he poses his question, his loving, compassionate question, driving us to belief. And Mary sees, experiences, and believes. It's our hope and our prayer for you today that as you have gone through the case for Christ, whether in the book or in the movie that many saw last night, and as you continue that journey, that you would bring all of your questions and that you would listen for the questions that God is posing of you and that you might come to that place in your life when you, like Mary and Thomas and all the others, can get to a place where you say, my Lord and my God, I believe. We don't know exactly where all of you are at in your faith journey. Some of you are here today and you've embraced God as your Lord and your Savior, and you are here to worship and adore and praise, and that's why you're here today. And to that, God's wonderful affirmation. And some of you may be asking some questions. Some of you may be asking about what's going on in your life. There may be a life crisis or a life circumstance that has brought you to your knees, and you're just wondering, where is God now? How can I rely on God now? How do I see my way out of this? We invite you today to bring those questions to God in a time of prayer. So I'm going to invite you now to enter into a time of prayer, whether it's questions like, oh dear God, you are so wonderful, how could you possibly love me? And God's answer is, because I I love you. I created you. I want you always to be my own, like Everly and like Isaiah. And maybe you've got other questions that you need to pose. So I'm going to give you an opportunity. We're going to give you an opportunity right now in prayer to silently pose your questions, pose your prayers, and then I'll conclude us with a time of prayer. Let's pray together silently to begin. Moments like this are moments when we pray we might be really honest with you. You invite us always to bring our honest concerns and questions before you. If we have been affirmed and we're here to praise you and to worship you in that way, then, Lord, hear our affirmations and our praises of you, because we know that in the past you've addressed those questions, and with profound trust, confidence, and hope, we look forward to all those things that you have brought into our lives. And if there are some here who are posing questions because they're really struggling, Lord, hear our prayers, hear our questions, and Lord, help us to recognize you. Help us to hear you. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Give us your confidence, your assurance, that we might know, that we might believe, that we might ultimately trust. In your name we pray. Amen. Thanks for being my props man.